Can y'all hear me? If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to use this phone because I can't find my Bible. But we're going to put it up on the screen. I think I've got it back there. I don't know which one of y'all ruined this microphone, but whoever it is, I'm mad at you. I'm going to get past it and repent. This thing will be on top of your head in just a second if you're not watching it. All right. Therefore, be imitators of God. That word therefore in the context of Scripture means knowing this. All right, therefore, knowing this, be imitators of God as dear children. So we're going to have to back up to chapter 14, chapter 4, verse 14. And we're going to get all this therefore in there, and then we're going to put it all in context for you. But before we do all that, we're going to pray. Father, I love you. So grateful, God, for your grace. I'm grateful for this church and this body. Thankful, Lord, that you brought us all together to worship. And I pray, Lord, that we'd all be able to concentrate on what you say and what you want us to do. Lord, I pray that we would love you right. And in that, we love each other right. I just ask God, you give me every word to speak, because I don't want to speak nothing from me. I just praise you for this message and the grace that you give me in it every day. I love you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Okay. We're going to get to the therefore in chapter 5 before we can get to chapter 5, okay? Here's the therefore. Therefore, knowing this, that we should no longer be like children, tossed to and fro and carried from every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. We should be able to realize sound doctrine because we're in God's word. I can't speak for everybody here. But I'd rather be biblically correct than worldly correct, any other kind of correct. I'm going to be biblically correct. And as a church, we need to be biblically correct. So we shouldn't be thrown from every wind of doctrine. And the only way that you can overcome that is by knowing God's word. As children of God, we should know his word. Not only know it, but we should obey it. I want all of you to look up here at me, and we're going to start this by saying this together, all right? Everybody, repeat after me. I am wrong. Half of you didn't say wrong. Half of you can't spit it out, right? And those of you that did, it tasted bad. I can tell. It tastes bad for me. But sometimes we have to admit when we're wrong. And when you see a wrong, sometimes you have to give enough grace to let somebody have enough time to repent of that wrong. You have to bring things into light, and we're going to talk about that in a little while. All right. It says, speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. It's okay to speak truth today in love. And I'm coming here in love, I promise you. I don't have any other motive. If you have children and you correct them like you're supposed to, it's hard to correct your children, isn't it? You just don't want to beat on them. I almost beat mine to death. And my daddy used to say, this is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you. But I come in truth at my kids and I said, I'm going to hurt you And it's going to hurt you worse than it's going to hurt me, I promise you. Because you're going to behave, right? Aren't you glad God's not like me, where he beats you into submission? God pours out grace all over us. He loves us through it all, gently correcting us. And there's a time. There's a time when gentleness doesn't work, right? Repentance is what God is driving us to. And that's my point for this morning. Don't be so hard-headed and stuck so much on you that you won't repent when you're wrong. And I'm not preaching to nobody but me. It says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. He's talking about the church here. Every one of you is a part of this body, a working intricate part. And if you don't do your part, somebody's got to take up your part. What happens when your knee doesn't work? I'll tell you, you fall. That's what happens. It says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of your mind. You, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you should not walk like you used to walk. You should be, the Bible says, a new man. God created a new man inside me. A new woman inside my wife. She's not here, and I'm not going to say anything derogatory about her because it'll get back to her on that podcast, and I don't need that. Huh? She don't believe nothing you say, Don. You're a troublemaker in the body, see? That's him. Do you remember when you used to walk in the futility of your mind? If you're saved, you should remember it. We don't ever need to get so saved that we forget what it's like to be lost, y'all. This today is a believer's message, and if you're sitting here lost, just listen, because God's word's powerful and it can change you in any kind of way. He doesn't need anything but the gospel message of Jesus Christ and how he changed your life. And he can change you. But this today is a believer's message, and we need to be about not walking like we used to walk, but we need to be about the new man. And it says, therefore, having their understanding darkened, they've been alienated from the life of God. If you're still walking like the old man, you're alienated from the life that God has for you. He has good for us. You know why our lives are so much of the time turned upside down and crazy? Because we make it that way. We walk in the futility of this world. How many of you are going to go to work tomorrow and you're going to join right in when they start all that stuff that they start? Oh, it's quiet up in here. Somebody say, I am wrong. All right, good. Because of the ignorance that is in them, those people are doing it because of the ignorance that's in them. Now, let me tell you something about ignorance. It's okay to be ignorant. I've been ignorant my whole life. And the only one I know worse than me is Nathan Fussell. That's him right there. I love that brother, though. He'll speak truth. Just don't be mad when I speak it back. It's okay to be ignorant like Nathan. It's not okay to stay ignorant. How many of you have been saved over 5 years? Don't answer. If you've been saved over 5 years, you shouldn't be ignorant of God's word. Paul said, if you've been ignorant, if you're ignorant of God's word after being saved for 5 years, then you're not discipled and you're not in the word of God. That's what he said. I got to move fast, y'all. Because of the blindness of their heart. The Bible says that the love of God is, the things of God are foolishness to those who are perishing. God's ways are foolish. How many of you would say, sometimes you look at God's ways and you go, that's foolish. I love Nathan Fussell, even though he's ignorant. No offense. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all kinds of uncleanness and greediness, all the things that the world says is good. Isn't that right? Isn't that what that says? Everybody should have health, wealth, and all the toys and all the things and all the fun and all that stuff. You should be able to leave your wife 6 or 7 times and be married 7 or 8 times. And if you, listen, I'm not against divorce. I'm just saying that's unbiblical and goes against God's word. It just does. But some, but you know what? Lost people don't care what God's word says. And the problem is, neither do saved people. And when you walk in the lewdness and in the old man, that's the way you're going to walk. People are more concerned about ceremony than they are any other thing, and we're going to get into that in a minute. But you have not learned this of Christ, if indeed you've heard him. If you're saved, you hadn't learned that from him, and having been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Underline that in your Bible. That you put off, the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. If you're left to your own ways, you will be deceitful and you will be chasing after deceitful lust. That's what you'll do. Because inside you, there should be two people. If you're saved, there should be two men or two women fighting against each other. You should get up every morning whooping on that old man and whooping him down. You should put on Christ every day. It's called the whole armor of God. We have got to start standing for the things that God loves, love the things that God loves, and hate the things that God hates. Don't stand in the seat of the scornful and proclaim what God hates. All right. And be renewed in your spirit of your mind. How do you do that? You do that with the word of God, with prayer. And you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. How many of you know what true righteousness means? Are you going to practice true righteousness? How many of you are right? You are right in everything that you do. All of you said you're wrong, right? We should be right in the things that we do. We should be upright in the sight of people that are lost. Isn't that right? Because you, saved people, are representatives of Jesus Christ. You represent him. And in order to represent him well, you need to be like him. Therefore, put away lying. How many of you have a problem with lying, other than Nathan? And me. I'm wrong too, brother man. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We should be able, I should be able to go to Nathan Fussell. I'm going to use him all day because he mouthed off. He's going to learn. I should be able to go to Nathan and discuss anything with him if we've got an issue. And you should be able to do that as well. And you can if you do it right. Says, therefore, put it in, okay, remember, be angry and don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let me tell you what happens when you get angry and you let the sun go down on your wrath and you give place to the devil. You give him an open ground to kick doors down and to come in and destroy. The Bible says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his goal. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your church. He wants to destroy your children. Anybody that doesn't believe that, look at your church. your marriage and your children. If it's not under attack, then it's already destroyed. Boy, it got quiet in here. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor. What? Working with his hands what is good. Why? That he may give, have something to give to him who has need. How many of y'all know somebody that's lazy other than me? I can be too, sister. Here's the thing. All right, y'all. Y'all saw me get on Nathan. I'll get on y'all. Says, we shouldn't let any corrupt words come out of our mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. We should be, listen to me, write this down somewhere in the margin of your Bible. You should be weird in this society, in this world, in this country. You should be different, crazy, weird. The way you act, the way you do things, being righteous and holy, you should be all those things. God himself said, be holy for I am holy. Be set apart, be different. That word means weird. That's what weird means, right? Not weird like Austin, weird like Jesus. Don't be weird like Austin. Anybody from Austin? I don't apologize for that because they're weird over there in a different weird way. We shouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You know what grieves God's Spirit? When you act lost and you're saved. When you listen to the outside world instead of listening to the Word of God. The Word of God should be the biblical truth that your life is based on. What you stand on. Says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That word malice means with all your might. This is what you should do. You should put that away. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Put it away. And it says this, and be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. How many of you are mad at somebody or something or several somebodies or several somethings and you just want to be mad and you want your way? Am I the only one? This thing's driving me insane. If that's you, if I described you there, this is where you're at. You need to put that away with all malice. You need to pray and repent. Repentance is what we're after, what God's after, all right? Now, go ahead to the next one, sister. Therefore, knowing all of that, now I'm going to get into the message. We're going to be here 14 hours. Y'all get ready. So, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. How many of you got boys, you men? Men and women and women, whoever. How many of you got boys? Well, my boy was a little bitty, and Gary's boys are a little bitty back there. Them boys want to be just like him. See, they don't know. They're young. They don't know. They don't know how Gary's acting a fool most of the time. That's just, I just play with you, though. You and Nathan, don't get me after church. Y'all protect me. But those boys, they'll imitate Gary, won't they? I bet you they'll go outside and act like they're welding. I'm going to tell off on him. I bet they go out there and they put a big old bunch of grapes or something in their lip like they got a big old dip of snuff. You see, they're imitators of Gary, their father. That right there says, back up to that sister, please. Imitators of God, just like a child. What if we got up in the morning and we went to work and imitated God? Just like them boys, the boys imitate Gary. What if? What would happen? It'd be a life-changing thing. It just might show somebody that's lost in your workplace that Jesus could be real. This could be a real thing. Be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. Underline that in your Bible. That's what we're going to talk about right here. He's talking about walking in love. As Christ has also loved us and given himself for us. That's the kind of love we should walk in. You know what? We don't walk that way, do we? By show of hands, does anybody in here walk in love just as Christ also loved us? Do you love people like that? Well, that's awesome. Do you do it every day, all the time, and everywhere? That's the question. Because if you don't, you got a struggle going on inside of you called the old man and the new man. And it's okay to struggle, too. It's okay to be ignorant, and it's okay to struggle. But you got to win that struggle. You got to overcome that struggle. We're overcomers through Christ Jesus, through his love. So if we're gonna treat people right and we're going to represent Jesus right, we got to walk in love, y'all. He says, walk in love as Christ loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. God gave himself as an offering and a sacrifice. How many of you men go home every evening after you've worked all day and be a servant to your wife and give like Christ gave? Don, put your hand down. Oh, my goodness. Once again, say this, I am wrong. It says, but back up there one time, sister, please. It says, he gave himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let that not even be named among you. All the things that the lost people look to and look for, the Christian people are doing. It says in 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. There ain't no place in your home or this church for somebody that talks filthy. Let me give you an example. How many of you in your mind right now heard a dirty joke when you was little? And when I said that joke came back in your mind, you can remember every word of it. I can't remember my wife's name most of the time. It's the same way with music. I was at work last week. I used to listen to country music back when it was country. I don't know what you call it now. I hadn't listened to it in so long, but it ain't country. My idea of country was Alan Jackson, Merle Haggard, Gary Stewart. Y'all hear me? That's back in my drinking days because I had this drinking thing. Y'all remember? I come on the radio at work. That guy got a radio blaring at work. And I could sing every word of it, knew every word to it. Every song we sang today, I'd have to look because I don't know the words to it like that. Music affects your heart. Lying affects your heart. Lying affects your walk. Filthiness or foolish talking affects your walk. You can't walk in love and give to anybody and pour out on anybody when you're doing these things. Look at verse 5. I said, for you know that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. I want you to look that verse over and see if you got any of those things, because you have no place in the kingdom if that's where you reign. Well, sure got quiet. It got quiet when I read it too. Look at number 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Bull. Idle words. Don't let anybody deceive you with an idle word. You know what happens when idle words come up? Everybody gets involved in that, right? It says, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Let me tell you something. You can be as saved as you want to be. Be disobedient to God's word, and he'll pour out wrath on you. He'll chastise his children. That's what the Bible says. And listen, it's unnecessary, because all you got to do is repent, which means you turn from that. Get away from that. That's not good for you. You know what God's word says? This ain't good for you. Get back away from it. Look at verse 7. Therefore, knowing all that, do not be partakers with them. Don't be partakers with lost people. Don't be partakers with people who are gossiping. Don't be partakers with people who are hateful, ugly, rude, filthy talking. Look at verse 8. For we were once in darkness. We were there one time. Amen? But now you are what? Light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. This is the next part of this. Walking in light. Now we've walked in love, and now we're going to start walking in light. What does light do? It exposes, doesn't it? Light exposes. How many of you been in a house? You may even clean houses. It looks kind of clean on the surface. But then you pull out the refrigerator, and that light hits underneath that refrigerator. Some of you ladies are cringing. You don't want me looking under your refrigerator. And you don't want to look under my bed either, right? You don't want to shine a flashlight in there. My wife's one of the cleanest people I know, and that house is clean because of me. No, I'm going to tell you, that's the truth. Because every time her cleaning lady comes, the night before, I got to clean house. She'll come in my office. She calls it my office that day. The rest of the time it's her house. And rightfully so. She spends more time there than I do. And that went over. Anyway, when the cleaning lady comes, I got to get busy cleaning my office up. And she just wants it picked up, she said. Well, it looks picked up to me already. But how many of us would want God shining a light into your life for the whole world to see? You see, we all ought to be able to stand up and say, shine it on me. Shine it on me. Because, y'all hear this part, if you don't hear nothing else, I want what God wants. I don't want what Willie wants. I don't want what you want. I don't want what anybody wants except for Jesus. No offense, but none of y'all died for me. I want what God wants. Our light should be protruding everywhere. We should be exploding with light, and people should, you know what deer are? They're drawn to the light. Bugs too. You know what you were? You're a deer and a bug. You come to the light one day because you saw somebody had the light and they shared the light. Isn't that right? Y'all ought to be bug attractants. Walk as children of the light. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Write that down or underline it. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Those are things you find in God's word. We need to be biblically correct no matter what anybody else does. No matter. All right, it says in verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. How many have thought, Don's crazy and I need to go into the Word of God and figure out why? I'm sure his wife has. No offense. How many of you have come across a problem in your life and you try to solve it yourself? You go, I got an opinion on that, and I'm going to take that opinion, and I'm going to force it. I'm going to force it on everybody. I hate this thing with a passion. I'm going to force that opinion on everybody. if that's you, say, I am wrong. Okay. There's a lot of people that are owning up. Oh, my goodness. I hate this thing. What about now? Can you hear me? I'll take it off if we can't. So we need to find out what's acceptable to the Lord. You know why? Because he's the one that's going to judge us one day. The Bible says you'll give an account for every idle word that comes out of your mouth. That scares me, y'all. Because I've had some idle words come out of my mouth. Proverbs 1:7 says this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't have a good, healthy fear of the Lord, you won't have a good, healthy fear of nothing. I'm going to give you an example. If you those of you who have boys, and Gary's one of them. If you let them boys do whatever they want to do and you don't correct them, they won't never be afraid of the law. They won't be afraid of nobody, no kind of authority. But here's what I tell you about Gary's boys. They're going to be afraid of the law and authority because they're afraid of him if he gets angry. And they misbehave. So we need to find out what's acceptable to the Lord and start doing that. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, I'm going to say some things that you're going to... This is not an easy message, y'all. I have combed over it 100 times, and I didn't want to preach it, but I can't get away from it. So here we are. We're gonna be there. It don't matter. There's some things going on in this world that are evil. The Bible says the days are evil. There's evil in our country. We got people who don't even know if they're men or women, and that's a lie. They know exactly who they are. And they want to shove it on you what they want to be. What God calls a man should be a man. What God calls a woman should be a woman. And we should have no fellowship with that, but rather expose them. God's word says that homosexuality is an abomination to God. God's word says that an idle tongue or gossiping tongue is an abomination to God. We should expose that. When somebody comes out in your group and they go to talking bad about Nathan because he's ignorant and he's not there, you should say, we're not gossiping against Nathan today because he's my brother. How many of us would do that? Or would you go, yeah, he is a little ignorant. That's what I do. I was wrong. All right. For it is even it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. That manifest, that word manifest means you call attention to. Boom. Light calls attention to things, right? We should be calling attention to things, especially when it's our brothers and sisters. Isn't that right? I should love you enough that I should love Don enough that I should be able to go to him and tell him, man, what you did is offensive. I love you, but it's offensive. Or whatever the case might be. And he should thank me for exposing that to him out of love. Let me tell you what I know. You can say anything you want to say to anybody you want to say it to if you do it out of love. You know why? Because your words are going to be seasoned with love. If you come in hateful, it ain't going to be taken good. Now listen, those of you who have a college education, you're going to hate the way I preach because I'm just blue collar country as a collard green. But if you don't get what I'm trying to say, I'll find a dictionary somewhere and explain it to you somehow. But we don't need to be, we need to be bringing things into the light, especially when our brothers and sisters, if you love them, don't let me hang out there. Don't let me do wrong and not repent. Come to me in love. All right, verse 14. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, upright, not as fools, but as wise. Do you know that you can be saved and walk around in this world as a fool? And it all is decided by how you walk, how you talk, and how you love, and how you represent, what you represent. There's a lot of Christians out there don't need to be representing the things they represent in darkness. Look at 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. There's no truer scripture than that one right there for today. We need to redeem the time. Do you realize that? How many of you know people within let's say, at your job or wherever you go every day? How many of you know people within a small radius of you that are lost and going to hell? And you know that. The days are evil, and you're going to walk right by them and not do or say or anything. Quiet. I'm wrong. 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand that what the will of the Lord is. God's will in that is for you to tell somebody about him and his love and what he can do. And you know what? Everybody says, well, I don't know how to give the gospel. You don't have to give people the gospel. It'd be nice. You need to know how to do it. But if you can't, all you got to do is say, I don't know about all that, but here's what I know happened to me. Here's what I know. You got a testimony if you've met Jesus. The Bible says if you meet him and you're saved, you'll be changed to your core. I had a man tell me one time, said, he was a Pentecostal, and he said, and I got nothing against Pentecostals, all right, but he said, if you speak in tongues, you'll have evidence of your salvation. I said, if you know me when I was lost, you'd see the evidence in me. Because I'm way yonder different than I was back then. Way yonder. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine. I don't think I need to explain that any at all. We're not Southern Baptists here. I'm not an opponent of drinking, all right, any kind of alcohol. And you know what? I'm going to preface this with this. I don't care what you do. You do you. But here's what I know. If you've never had a mama come to you after her baby got killed in a car wreck because she was drunk driving, tore all to pieces forevermore, then you'll never know the evils of alcohol. Now listen, nobody drank more than me. I was like a fish. But there's things that'll make me put that away. It's nothing but darkness, and that's all it brings. You do you. Boo. All right. We shouldn't be drunk with wine, but we should be filled with the Spirit. When we get around people, they should say, this dude's so godly, he makes me nervous and I got to go somewhere. Nathan Fussell's like that. I thought of you the whole time, mate. All right, 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You want to know how to overcome idle talk? You get that in your heart. You start singing. You get to work and all that idle talk's going on. You go to singing, My Lord Will Provide. What an awesome song, right? Right? about giving thanks always for all things, having a thankful heart. Let me tell you something. If you're sitting up here and you know Jesus, and you should have a thankful heart. All you ladies, I want you to think about something and tell me if you got a thankful heart. Are you thankful that your man gets up and goes to work every day? You thankful that he loves you? Do you tell him? No, I'm wrong. I'm going to get on the men here in a minute. Y'all just hang out. Giving thanks always for all things, submitting to one another in the fear of God. What? I should have to submit to you and you submit to me? You know what? Because we're a body. We're a body. If you see me doing something wrong and you don't say something to me, then you're wrong too. And vice versa. And I should be able to tell you that because I love you. If Chad Arnold was to do something wrong and I didn't come to him, I'm wrong in that. I'm more wrong. But you know what we do? The Bible says if you have a problem with a brother, come to him. Right? That's what he says to do. What do we do? What does the old man do? If I have a problem with you, I'm going to go tell everybody that you're a jerk. They know it, and they're going to agree. And they're going to come on. I'm as wrong as the lost. And that's what this whole message is talking about. Don't be like lost people. We're saved by a precious amount of blood that Jesus shed for you. It took a bunch to save me. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. 22. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now let me tell you something about this. I'm gonna preface this part right here. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write this, ladies. But I want you to see something in Ephesians chapter 5. When he talks to the women, he gives you one thing to do. You should notice this. God gave you women one thing to do. Submit to your husband as to the Lord. Why? 23. For the husband is the authority of the wife, as also Christ is the authority of the church, the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. God chose men to be the leaders. And here's where I'm going to get on you men. If you're not leading right, you're doing your wife a grave injustice. There's not a hard-headed woman. Well, let me skip that. There's not a woman that hates submitting no more than my wife. And she'll tell you that. But you know what she told me when she started submitting to me and my authority and my leadership in my home? She said, I've never been freer. You ladies are chained if you're going to try to do the man's job in your home. You're enslaved to that because you're not built for that. I'm telling you, you can be mad at me if you want to, but this, I'm going to be biblically correct. I'm going to try to. Now, some of y'all might need to say I'm wrong. Moving on. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. What? You should be subject to your husband's authority in everything. What if he's not leading right? You submit to him and watch God change him. That's a whole different story if he's lost. Or is it? No, it's not. You win him with your chaste conversations, what the Bible says. You win him. Win him to the Lord. You're not going to do that with fighting with him, I can tell you. You're going to be one of those statistics that 69% of the church is divorced. Or more. All right. Let's look at 25. Husband. Here we go. Here we go, ladies. Y'all can amen on out here. Love your wives. Love your wives. What does that mean? Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Is there any task that the head servant in your house, ladies, should shuck? Y'all know what that means? Is there any task that your husband shouldn't do? Not according to that. According to that, he should wash the dishes. He should do the laundry. If you want your clothes ruined. Sometimes you don't want to let him do. I'm just experienced. But there shouldn't be a job in your house, men, that you're not willing to do. That you don't jump at the chance to serve your wife. What happens when you jump at the chance to serve your wife? First thing she's got to do is figure out what's wrong with you. Because this is not normal. But that's what the Bible teaches. All you men of God need to be saying amen and get at it. Because I've been wrong. All right, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. You better lead your wife in the ways of Christ. You better love her right. If you love her right, you'll want her to be biblically correct. You're not going to beat her into submission. It won't work. You'll go to jail. And rightfully so. If you're hitting on a woman, you need to go to jail. You better not let me see you. I'll get whooped too. Me and her both. I'm not a brawler. He might present her himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that she should be holy and without blemish. If your wife is not set apart, loving God, it's not her fault if she's submitting to you. You should be following God in such a way that that's what she sees and wants. That's the way God set it apart. Some of you ladies are smiling way too big. Y'all need to get that quit. Let God speak to your husband. So husbands ought to love their own wives as they love their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Do you see that? The Lord loves the church like you love you. We need to think about that before we go coming and attacking the Lord's church and each other, right? For no one ever hated, okay, wait, okay, 30. For we are all members of his body and his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. All of this is great marriage counseling, by the way. If you're going to counsel somebody in their marriage, if they got problems, Ephesians chapter 4, 5, and 6 are great places to go, and chapter 5 especially. Look at the next one. It says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Guess what? You can take this and you can give great marriage counseling, and it works. It works in your marriage. But Paul didn't write this because of marriages that were failing in the church. He wrote this because the church was failing in the community. I'm going to give you, nevertheless, that each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Wow, what if we did that? And let the wife see, oh, y'all, that she respects her husband. Let me tell you something, ladies. You want to win your husband on your side? You want to keep him on your side? Respect him. Respect his authority. Respect who God made him to be. Respect the way he leads your family, works for your family, loves you and loves your family, loves your kids. So I'm going to tell you something. If you find a single mom out there that's raising 3 or 4 kids because her man left her, she'll give you some counsel on how to treat your husband. And your husband, he'll give you some counsel on how to treat your wife, because divorce is not an option at my house. I'm going to find a way to love her. There's days that I have to get away from her. And she has to go away from me. You see, she's not here. She's watching one of my grandbabies do all that tumbling and jumping and all that stuff. All right. Is that it? All right. I'm going to leave you with this. It's an illustration, okay? I didn't come up with this, but I borrowed it from Adrian Rogers, all right? one of the greatest illustrators, biblical illustrators I've ever heard. I want you to get you a mental picture of this. All right? There was a young man and a young woman who had started dating. They were in their 20s, and he was just ate up with her. He thought she could do no wrong. And she thought he was okay too. So they were dating, and one night around Christmas time, he took her to an ice skating rink, and he rented the whole thing. And him and her were the only two there. And before they went, he went to a jewelry store, and he got the biggest ring he could afford. When they got out in the middle of the ice, he got out on one knee, and all the people everywhere were watching. And he proposed to her, and she was just ate up with it. So she goes home, and she tells her dad, I've been here, so I know what he said already. No. So she said, we got to prepare for this wedding. So they went, and they got to looking at gowns and caterers and venues. Y'all done any of that? That's ignorant. Hi, it's ignorant, isn't it? Now, so the father, he looked at all that money, and he went, wow, what a total waste of money. So he called his baby girl in there, and he said, hey, sweetie, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, we sit down, we figured out what all this is going to cost. I'll write you and him a check for that amount. You take that check and go put it on a down payment of a house, and it'll give you an excellent start to your life together. She said, wow, Dad, that's great. But I've always wanted this wedding. He said, what? She said, I've always wanted this wedding. I said, okay. I said all that to say this. That don't make sense, does it? No. It don't make good money sense. All right? But evidently, there's another motive involved. So they went on with the planning, and they got the venue. And it come down to the day where they went in and they did all the practice things, you know, and they had the supper and all. Y'all been through that, right? Everybody's out shelling out money like it's got a water faucet under it or something. And so at the end of this night, they get to the door, and all the people are outside, and they swing those doors open, and they got rice in their hand, and they try to put your eyes out with it. Y'all been there? They're chunking it. They run to the car, the limousine their dad rented and all that stuff, and they get in, and she looked at her husband and said, my gosh, wasn't that awesome? That was the most awesome thing I've ever been a part of. He said, yeah, it was. She leaned up to the driver and said, hey, take me back to my father's house, my dad's house. He said, what? Wait a minute. We're married. We're going to start our life together. We're going to honeymoon and all that. And she said, hang on just a second. I don't want the lifestyle. I just want the ceremony. So my question is, are you looking for the lifestyle? Are you looking for a ceremony? Y'all stand with me. Father God, I just love you, and I'm thankful, God, for this group of people. I'm thankful for your word. I pray, Lord, that we can all come to a place where we can admit that sometimes we're just ceremonial. Father, I pray that you would break our hearts and give us a brand new thought process of how we want to be just like you. Our lives depend on it. I love you, and I love this people. And I pray, God, that you would change us. Make us more like Jesus. I pray that you'd let us walk in love, walk in wisdom, and walk in the Spirit. Teach us, God, how to do that. Teach us that we would be more biblically correct than any other way. I love you, and I thank you for your grace, and I ask it all in Jesus' name.